This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, everyone. Do you wish you were somewhere sunny, but are dealing with another crazy spring? There's a solution to get that feeling. I'm grabbing a Hawaiian Breeze 5-Hour Energy and escaping there in my mind. Sports fans, ever stay up late for the game and drag the next day? A 5-Hour Energy shot will fix that no problem. 5-Hour Energy's website has tons of flavors, over 15 to choose from. Watermelon, Tropical Burst, Blue Raspberry, and even hard-to-find ones like Strawberry Lemonade and Extra Strength Fan Fuel. There's a flavor for everyone. You can even build your own 12 or 24-pack and have it delivered. Or grab a shot at your local store. They're everywhere. And it's basketball season. My schedule is packed, and I don't want to miss a second, so I grab a 5-Hour Energy shot. They're perfect for back-to-back games or when my team plays late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going through the game and the next morning. Visit 5hourenergy.com for deals and to stock up before tip-off.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
The most successful team in the history of professional sports. Starting the new millennium, the New York Yankees are once again world champions.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
All right, 106, McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Just a couple of things. One, I want to say, because last night I was on the air when we saw someone had vomited, for lack of a better term, on the court and caused a 10-minute delay. Then we realized it was Tracy Morgan and didn't know what was going on. And thankfully, it was just food poisoning. We know Tracy has had health issues. Apparently, I think he needed a kidney transplant a couple of years ago. Then, obviously, the hit by the truck, you know, was in a severe car accident. So, I was just, you know, we were just reacting to it. I'm not listening to the game. I don't know what's going on other than Tracy Morgan. Then we started seeing videos of it, and then we saw him wheeled out and covering his face. And it was, you know, somewhat scary. But thankfully, it was just some food poisoning, and hopefully he'll be all right. I think he's even making jokes after the way they played that he could throw up on the court every game with how they finished off that game. They went on a 19-2 run after that delay. But thankfully, Tracy Morgan, who I am a huge fan of, I still do that. He did that Bruce Willis movie, Cop Out. And there's a scene in that movie where he just says no a bunch. And he also has some of the same mannerisms as my Uncle Peter. So, I don't know what it is. They have some of the same mannerisms. It's very funny. But hopefully Tracy's okay. And then the other thing is we got to see a full, long, extended trailer for Happy Gilmore 2. Listen, I'll be totally honest with you. My expectations for the film are small. I want to purposely not get too excited about it. Adam Sandler's made a lot of these movies over the last handful of years for Netflix or whatever, and they've been okay. They've had their, you know, charm about them, their Adam Sandler charm, their funny moments. I don't know how much I'm going to enjoy this movie or laugh at this movie, but I got to be totally honest with you. It's almost like I don't care. This is a straight up nostalgia thing. I cannot wait for this movie. Like, I don't know how funny it's going to be. I think they'll do a decent job of it. The trailer looks awesome. Just to have Happy Gilmore back. I mean, that was, I can't tell you how big of an Adam Sandler fan I was at the beginning of his movies. We used to play his comedy albums over and over and over. I mean, we listened to The Goat 100 times, me and my buddies, Tollbooth Willie, all the songs, Medium Pace, which is disgusting. Kids, don't go listen to Medium Pace. But it is, I mean, it's just, the you know, Fatty McGee, no relation. Just some of the greatest comedy sketches ever, The Farting Hypnotist. I loved all of his, we were the biggest, and at that time period, man, Billy Madison, Happy Gilmore, The Wedding Singer. I just showed my I watched with my sons. I did my best to get through all the bits I knew would be inappropriate for them, but there wasn't that many. With The Water Boy, we kind of watched The Water Boy a little bit. I loved Adam Sandler, especially that when he first hit, and all of those movies were just classics. I mean, he put out classic after classic, really from the beginning. What's the last one that was a classic? Mr. Deeds? Is that when it... And I don't mean to knock them, because some of the movies were still pretty good.
51st Dates is really good.
There's going to be some gems, uncut gems, to pardon the pun. There's definitely gems throughout his career that are really good. Like, Anger Management, I love. But I don't know if I would say he was perfect all the way through. He had, like, the beginning of his career was Albert Pujols. The beginning of his career was Joe DiMaggio. I mean, it was just classic after classic after classic. And then he hit a lull, and there's always going to be good ones. And now it feels like some of them are good, and they're hit or miss. They're all kind of similar. I'm not trying to knock Adam Sandler.
I know the generation behind me little bit loves Grown Ups, the first
one. Yes. I think I actually like Grown Ups 2 better.
But I actually like both of them, but I mean, like, they love Grown Ups the way you and I will love the movies you've already named.
Yep. I think Grown Ups are actually, both of those films are actually pretty good. I wouldn't put them on the same caliber as the movies we're talking about, but yes, they are actually pretty good.
Click was very good.
Click was pretty good. And then he's made some real stinkers, but that... let me look over his career real quick. We have a second. I'll do it during...
Listen, we made something from Happy Gilmore part of the Wheel of QBs.
That's true.
This guy sucks.
I'll look through Adam Sandler's career as I'm talking to Eddie and Rockland. 888-808. I'm just kidding, Eddie. 808.
Eddie's going to say he got you anyway, so you don't even have to hear what he says.
Chris, you don't even know the Adam Sandler movies. What kind of Adam Sandler fan are you? 888-808-1019. Let's get back to the calls. McMonagle here with you, filling in for Keith. I got you for another 48 minutes or so as we take it at 2 o'clock. Pat Boyle in the house to fill in for me at 2. Let's get back to those calls. The aforementioned Eddie and Rockland. Eddie, what's going on, man? How are you?
Hey, Chris, now you guys get a little kick out of, you know, drilling me, but that's all right.
Well, you get such a kick out of drilling me. We're having fun.
Wait a minute. I don't bring up anybody else, but I will bring up Pat Boyle, man. Are you going to tell him the 3 or 4 different ways how to get out of the bike race?
No, I think he's locked in, man. I only know one way.
Oh.
I only know, I guess I know 2 ways.
No, 3 ways.
What's the third way?
BT said he asked you to do it. You said it was too early.
No.
Then Boomer asked you too late or too early.
No.
And then the third one was you can't make it.
I don't want to call any. I have no recollection of BT asking me to do it. The only time I have ever known to have been asked to do it was I was put on the spot in the morning show with Boomer. And then nobody emailed me or anything. And now this one, I can't because it's my son's communion. So I don't remember.
Does that mean you're calling BT a liar?
I don't remember BT asking me to do it. I don't. I guess that was 2 years ago when BT did it.
You know he said that, right?
I don't know he said it. You're telling me now, and I'll take your word for it. I don't remember that, but it's possible.
Oh,
it was a long time ago. I don't remember having multiple conversations about it. I just remember being put on the spot by Boomer that one time. And then I went about my life, forgot all about it, and was never notified about it. And then now I can't do it. But we'll see.
Okay.
But don't worry. We'll have more fun to talk about it next year, Eddie.
All right, before I get to my Giants, I got a quick Yankee question, which I don't, you know, I don't talk baseball too much, but Aaron Judge in the playoffs this year, over or under 200 average, batting average?
I'm sorry, one more time, Eddie? I was looking over the Adam Sandler career. One more time?
The Judge's batting average for the playoffs is coming up, over or under 200.
Well, I'm glad that you like that the Yankees are automatically in the playoffs. I'm a fan of that. I would say over 200.
Good. All right. Now I got something to drill you.
You got something. You gave me a hypothetical. Yeah, it made me take a side. You got it. Tuck it away. Put it under your pillow. Save it for a rainy day and see what happens in October.
Now you got it, Chris.
There you go.
All right,
bud.
Here we go. Now
more?
You keep on bringing up the Colts game, Chris.
Yes.
You understand they won the Colts game because they didn't want the top pick. They scored seven. What was the last time the Giants scored 17 points in one quarter, in the fourth quarter?
Can't imagine.
In the second of last week of a bomb the year.
It had to be.
They don't want the pick.
Oh, I totally.
He can't handle the pick.
Who's going to do it? You, Lieutenant Weinberg? I have a greater responsibility than you can possibly fathom. You weep for Santiago and you curse the Marines. You have that luxury. You have the luxury of not knowing what I know, that Santiago's death, while tragic, probably saved lives. And my existence, while grotesque and incomprehensible to you, saves lives. You don't want the truth because deep down in places you don't talk about at parties, you want me on that wall. You need me on that wall. We use words like honor, code, and loyalty. We use these words as the backbone of a life spent defending something. You use them as a punchline. I have neither the time nor the inclination to explain myself to a man who rises and sleeps under the blanket of the very freedom that I provide and then questions the manner in which I provide it. I would rather you just said thank you and went on your way. Otherwise, I suggest you pick up a weapon and stand a post. Either way, I don't give a damn what you think you're entitled to. That's right. I memorized that whole thing. I don't know why. Tony in Montreal. What's up, Tony? Tony, come on. He falls asleep on the line. I just gave you gold. I think Tony's either really asleep or Tony's trying to get back at me. I was short with him the last time he called. He mentioned a Canadian quarterback, and I dismissed it and just didn't even let him make a second point. I'm sorry, Tony. What's worse, Eddie or snoring? I haven't made up my mind yet.
I think it's Eddie.
I don't disagree. I prefer Tony's call. Ralph in Bradley Beach. What's up, Ralph?
How's it going, big guy?
Good. How are you, buddy?
And your Giants talk is really good. I got a question for my man, the legend here.
Yes.
I want to know your top five linebackers of your all time. What you think of the top five? Can I give you my five?
Yes, you certainly can. Here we go. Ralph and Bradley Beach's top five linebackers of all time.
All time. I'm a fan since 50 years ago. I'm going to go with number five, Brad Van Pelt from Michigan State. That guy was a master when they had a team of nobodies.
Van Pelt.
And they had Mendenhall on the line. I love Brad Van Pelt.
I'll do this with you, but you can't give me a 30-second spiel on all of them. Just let's go through
them.
Okay,
okay, okay.
I'm trying to help you, but you can't give me everybody on the defense.
An old dog, you know, can learn tricks. So I got you. Okay. Number four, Michael Strahan. Forget that.
He's more of a defensive end than a linebacker.
Oh, linebacker. I'm going to go Carl Banks, number four.
Carl Banks, number four. Now we're talking. Good.
Okay.
Number three.
I can learn. Okay. Number three. I am going to go with Brian Kelly. Outside, inside, leader, defensive genius mind.
Okay.
And you got me there?
Yeah, I got you there.
And that's a tough one because you know what number one is.
Yeah.
But number two. I'm going to go with, he was an assistant coach. He came out of Miami University. You know who he is. You know who he is. But I go number one.
Okay.
Of course, the legend, the answer to the pain.
Yes.
And we know. And what I can say is, I don't even want to mention his name, but give me your top five.
top five linebackers, I'm going to go with Van Pelt, Banks, Kelly, the coach out of Miami University, and the player who we will not name. I think those are the clear cup five. I think you nailed it. I mean, obviously, LT is number one. I mean, if we're going to go just players I've seen, I mean, Ray Lewis, number two.
Urlacher.
Urlacher, number
three. It's different now because a lot of pass rushers are technically linebackers.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, I don't. If we're just going straight up pass rushers, we're going like linebackers. What's his name? Retired early with the 49ers. I'm terrible with names sometimes.
Patrick Willis.
Patrick Willis was dominant for a while. I mean, I don't know. Obviously, you know, Urlacher was the other third of like the generational type player, the guy everybody loved. I mean, I'm a Giants fan. Antonio Pierce was my guy. Him being embroiled in the Plaxico thing was part of the reason that all fell apart. It wasn't just Plaxico shot himself. It was that Antonio Pierce was involved, and it just became a disaster with the whole team and everything. Antonio Pierce, absolutely one of my favorite linebackers. Carl Banks, definitely. But, I mean, it's LT and Ray Lewis, really. That's the two. You have to go back a long time to do better than that. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Do we have the Russo sound? I forgot to ask you if we actually got it. I know we talked about it. I don't think Marco's put it in yet. But yesterday I did a little bit on Mike because there was a viral clip going around of Mike Francesa, obviously, who I worked for many years, speaking. Not even yelling, but speaking with his team on his podcast, who accidentally bled into his headset, and he was just confused on what they were saying or why they were saying it, and he thought he made a cue to take off air, but it was live. He thought it was being recorded, and so he was having a discussion. And he like constantly asked the question, but like he didn't yell at anybody. So Mike was in the news for yelling at his staff when I've been part of his staff. That was not yelling. That was nothing. I can't believe the pub that got, or at least the reaction of, you know, Mike at it again, which was it was classic Mike. I love the video, but he didn't yell at anybody. And then I guess Russo today is making the rounds after going on a long rant. Apparently his son,
Colin,
thank you, who's actually hosted shows here on The Fan with Craig's son. They did a couple shows together, and me and Lugie actually followed them. I thought they did great jobs, both of them. But he has a show out in Florida. He's a talk show host. I think it's for an ESPN affiliate.
ESPN West Palm.
ESPN West Palm. So he has a show, and he was live from Met Camp. And apparently, the Mets didn't give him any guests. And Russo goes on this rant.
I have not heard the whole thing. We don't have anything either in the system. Just found it on Twitter.
Yeah.
It's 18 and a half minutes.
Yeah, no, he went on a long rant about it. Marco was telling me that he's not going to root for them anymore. He is mad as hell that the Mets couldn't give one lousy guest to ESPN West Palm and his son's show. Couldn't come up with one? What's going on? You couldn't just Brandon Nimmo after, you know, working out his knee a little bit, he's not playing, send him over to Colin just to appease the big guy. I mean, he's the star now. Timothy Chalamet sent him out to Paris to go see the Bob Dylan movie. You don't want to piss off Russo. That's so funny. Both of them still in the news every day. 888-808-1019. Mike and the Mad Dog. It lives forever. It will never die. And we're all the better for it.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover, all for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code SHAVE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code SHAVE. Enjoy.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen, alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. 5 times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
When this happened, you talk about it on The Fan.
It'll be a 1-1 to Judge. The pitch swung on and hit. Deep center field. Trout on the run. Aaron Judge, number 50.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, 128, McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Now, I have to admit, I think I was disrespectful to my guy Adam Sandler. I think the streak of really nothing but good movies goes a lot longer than I initially admitted. Like, if you look at it, and I'm only talking not cameos, like real like Adam Sandler movies. I won't count Airheads, although I think I could, because Airheads, he's not the lead in it. Brendan Fraser is. But I love Airheads. I think it's a really good movie. But let's just start with Billy Madison. Billy Madison, Happy Gilmore, obviously classics. An unknown or lesser known movie called Bulletproof with him and Damon Wayans, which is awesome. I love Bulletproof. Also, James Caan is the bad guy in it. Bulletproof is a really good movie. Not a typical him movie. He's not the absolute lead. It's him and Damon Wayans, but very good. Then you got The Wedding Singer, The Water Boy, Big Daddy, Little Nicky, I don't love, but it's hard not to include it. Like, I don't love Little Nicky, but like then you got Little Nicky, Punch Drunk Love, which is very good. It's not a comedy, really, but a Punch Drunk Love is very good. Then you got Mr. Deeds, Eight Crazy Nights, which is a very funny, you know, holiday movie, a Hanukkah movie. It's really funny. It's a cartoon. It's very good. Then you got Anger Management, which is excellent. Then you got 50 First Dates, which is good. Then you get into Spanglish and Longest Yard, and Longest Yard's okay. Then you get into Click. Like, you could even through I Now Pronounce You Chuck and Larry, the first real, in my opinion, bad movie that Adam Sandler makes is You Don't Mess with the Zohan. It has its moments, but I don't think it's very good. But you can make at least an effort to talk about the redeeming qualities or the level of quality of every film he's the lead in from 1995 to 2008. That's pretty good. Then you get into, you know, Bedtime Stories is a cute movie. Funny People and Grown Ups, the two Grown Up movies are okay. Jack and Jill is hideous. That's My Boy is eh.
You skipped one. Just Go With It is very underrated.
Yeah, it's, you know, Rami tweeted me that too. Did I skip it? I didn't even see it. Yeah, Just Go With
It. It comes
okay.
out before Jack and Jill. And Jack and Jill is where things start to go off
the rails. Is that the one where he uses the wedding ring to date women and Jennifer
it's
Aniston?
Him and Jennifer Aniston.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, it's okay. But I mean, he had a long run of making nothing but pretty damn good movies. And now, I'm hoping this is great. My point is, I don't even this Happy Gilmore 2. It doesn't even have to be great for me to really enjoy it. I'm going to enjoy this movie just because it's Happy Gilmore 2, just because it's going to be nostalgic, just because he's bringing back that character. I love the movie so much. It's so much a part of my childhood, particularly those two movies. Billy Madison, Happy Gilmore feel like 1995, 1996. I'm 12, 13 years old. Like even, you know, The Wedding Singer and Waterboy, sure, but like those two movies in particular are just such a part of my childhood. So I can't wait for it. The trailer looks awesome. Shooter McGavin's coming back. I am so pumped July of this year to be able to watch Billy Madison 2. Happy Gilmore 2, rather.
I can't remember if I told you this, but I once met Christopher McDonald, and his friends call him Shooter.
Is that a fact?
Yeah.
That's so awesome.
It made me like so happy. Yeah. And like, it was one of the best discoveries of my life to find out
that
the
really
people
cool.
who knew him called him Shooter.
Yeah, that is really cool. That is pretty cool.
Because it's an incredible nickname.
Oh, it is. It's a great nickname. And he's been in a lot of different things, but that's every time I see him, I think Shooter McGavin. It's the only thing I think of. He's been in some other things, and he's had some other significant roles, but that's the one that jumps out to me. He's so great in it. And I heard Evan today was unaware that the love interest is the mother from Modern Family, who obviously... She's coming back for this role. Looking forward to it. She's great. Everything about that movie was just perfect. Happy Gilmore is just a perfect movie. Everything about it. So good. 888-808-1019. So I'm definitely looking forward to that. Looking forward to the baseball season. Looking forward to the NFL draft. Looking forward to everything. We started with a little bit with the Yankees. We had the positive story of me telling you, and of course, hey, listen, Yankee shill, telling you that the Yankee lineup's going to be better than you think. And then we had the negative story of the disaster that was the Ranger game last night where they scored the first goal of the game and then did absolutely nothing for the rest of the game. Just did absolutely nothing. I mean, it was one of the more putrid performances. I just want to double check again. They were outshot in this game 35-13. Why am I not seeing the shots?
You do the mic. One, two,
yeah,
three.
One. How many shots did he get? Okay. There we go. 35-13. 35-13. 13 shots on goal. That is a hideous performance. Every loose puck, and again, it's just this team just acts like they don't want it. That's a game. Listen, you could live with it in December. You could live with it in November. This is supposed to be a team that they won the President's Trophy last year. They were supposed to regroup, figure out how to get tougher and better in the playoffs, and attack this thing again. And instead, they have fallen on their face. They gave Ranger fans about a month and a half to 2 months of the worst hockey that this franchise has shown them in over a decade easy. In December and early January, it was pathetic. They turned it around a little bit, added JT Miller. That helped even further. Zibanejad started to play a little bit better. And now they are fighting for their playoff lives, a point out of the wild card from the Canadiens. The Canadiens have two games in hand. They're playing the Calgary Flames, who are a solid team, pretty much in the same position they are in the Western Conference. And they show no interest in being on the ice. None. That is hard to fathom, that this group. Now, there has been issues with this team dating back a long time. But we know that for Panarin to be their best player, for Zibanejad to be their best player, that's a real issue come playoff time. It has been over the last couple years. There's real flaws with the team. There's real toughness issues. Even last year when they were the President's Trophy winner, they were a special teams team, right? They scored a ton of power play goals. They were great on the penalty kill, a lot of shorthanded goals. 5-on-5, they were just average to slightly below average, but the power play carried them. You knew it was going to be an issue in the playoffs, and it was, as well as their toughness and their strength and their physicality and everything else that comes with losing to the Florida Panthers. So there's been an issue with this team. But the inability to fight to get into the playoffs right now and to give you this effort that they gave you, you're going to lose, right? Igor's kind of had an up and down year. The effort that was given for the New York Rangers last night was embarrassing. 888-808-1019. The New York Yankees lineup, I know a lot of people don't like. I just took a call on it. Wells hitting leadoff. I think Wells hitting leadoff and the speed at the bottom actually helped this lineup. It's not perfect. He's not ideal for it. It might not last. They don't really have a guy. Maybe Jazz gets hot in the first month, and by May he's the leadoff hitter. Maybe Anthony Volpe finally shows the promise that we've been waiting for, and he eventually becomes the leadoff hitter. There are options with this team. Not any good ones, to be totally honest with you, not out the gate. And I think Wells, what it does is it provides a little pop at the top, and then it provides a display of speed and athleticism at the bottom with Jazz, Volpe, Dominguez, all three of them, 5, 6, 7, 7, 6, 7, 8, something like that at the bottom of the lineup that really changes the dynamic. Because if you remember this Yankee lineup, like, we could say whatever we want about without Juan Soto, and I agree. It's not nearly as good as having Juan Soto and Judge back-to-back in the middle of the lineup. That's a force that's literally Mantle and Maris. That is literally Ruth and Gehrig. They are unbelievable. And that is better than having a deeper lineup. But do you remember what 6, 7, 8 looked like at times last year? Do we remember? 6, 7, 8 right now can be either Jazz or Rice, Volpe, Dominguez. Like, that is far better. As we found out today that Verdugo, who was part of that 7-8-9 last year, has not even got an offer of a major league contract this offseason. There is not a team in baseball willing to give Verdugo a major league contract. And yet, he was their left fielder all year last year. There's an opportunity for this lineup to be better than last year in many ways, certainly deeper. Not overall better. They probably won't score as many runs, and there's not nearly the threat at the top. But it felt like if they didn't score with Judge and Soto, they were going to have a tough time scoring. They were just so damn good at it that it carried over how bad the lineup was throughout. This lineup has an opportunity to be deeper It does. It has an opportunity to be more exciting at the back end. It really does. I'm looking forward to the year. And Yankee fans who are doom and gloom and pessimistic, like, I know right now they're not favorites to win the World Series. And we got it. We're going to get a chance to watch the Dodgers again. We watched the Dodgers yesterday morning, you know, without Freeman, who's dealing with a hip a rib injury, without Betts. They're still winning games, right? And they're the team to beat. Clearly, their rotation's unbelievable. There's a lot of better teams in the National League. Fine, whatever, I don't care. The fact of the matter is the Yankees play in the American League, and the New York Yankees went to the World Series last year. And I'll continue to say this. I'm not throwing parades for them. I'm not saying being over 500 is the goal or losing in the playoffs is the goal. I get it. It's about winning championships. That's what I want to. But if there's one team to give the benefit of the doubt of as we start the year and have some hope and some expectations and some real enthusiasm, knowing that they'll do what they can at the deadline and that they have been successful at this over 30 years of at least giving you a season and at least getting you to the playoffs, the amount of negativity surrounding this team this year off of losing Juan Soto and being in the World Series is starting to annoy me as we are now 9 days away, or maybe even 8 days away now that we've passed midnight. So let's get it together. 888-808-1019. Let's go to John in Brooklyn. What's up, John?
Hey, what's up, T-Mac? How you doing? Good show like always, man. I don't know if you forgot, but Meet the Parents was pretty good and Tropical Thunder from Adam Sandler. I don't know if you said those movies.
He wasn't in either one of those movies. Are you thinking of Ben Stiller? Are you thinking of Stiller?
Oh, yeah, I'm confusing them. Damn, yeah, you're right. I'm sorry about that. Yeah, yeah, all right.
No, Meet the Parents and Tropic Thunder are hilarious movies.
Yeah, 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 those are great. I got confused. But no, T-Mac, my question to you was about the Knicks, right? Because I was telling to the guy, all I keep hearing is if the Knicks get eliminated in the first round, we need a change. And they're talking about getting rid of the coach. I think that would be the worst move that will ever happen if they do that. I want to know what you think about that. I think we'll take 10 steps back if we do that.
Yeah, it depends on who they bring in. I don't think they necessarily take 10 steps back. I'm not looking to get rid of them necessarily. But I'll be totally honest with you. I talked about this yesterday. I love Tibbs. I'm not a huge member of the Minutes Police, although I think we all have some sort of feeling about it and some idea that he could be a little bit better with it. I'm going to let you go, John. Thank you for the call. I think we all have some belief that he could be better. This side of Frank Isola, who you can't even mention the minutes to, he gets furious. Like, I think even the people who don't think it's as big a deal as some would still tell you, yeah, I mean, they play a lot of minutes. We could try and do a better job of it. We could try and you're going to need the bench at some point. Like, we all have a certain level of feeling towards the minute issue. I'm not a huge member of the Minutes Police. I don't think it's a fireable offense or anything. And I do think it's changed the game a little bit. And they've done it a little bit differently than other teams. And that was part of the charm of it. And part of the reason for their early success over the first couple of years of his tenure. But I will say this about him, right? This team, when I think of a Tibbs team, and I mentioned the minutes issue, right? When I think of Tibbs, I think of the minutes issue, which is the negative, the glaring negative. The two glaring negatives are that and the narrative that he's not the guy who gets you over the hump, right? He's the guy who takes you there, doesn't get you over the hump, right? Kenny Atkinson is now, maybe unfairly, and we'll find out if that's the case, unfairly has gotten that moniker maybe a little bit with the Nets. And we'll see if that's true or not, but that's kind of been something surrounding him, plus the minutes, right? Those are the negatives. The positives are toughness, intensity, defense, right? Those are the positives. The negatives are glaring still, where the minutes are so much of an issue. His own players have come out publicly about it. The good enough to get over the hump right now, they have struggled against the best teams in the East. That's really the issue right now. They've gotten blown out against Boston and Cleveland to the point where I'm watching ESPN and they're talking about they could lose to the Pistons. They're not good enough to be. The best they can do is a hard-fought series against either Cleveland or Boston. Like, so it's prevalent that he's not good enough to get them over the hump. It's prevalent the minutes issue. And his strengths are diminished. This team, we're questioning their toughness. We're questioning, you know, whether or not they're a tight group. We're questioning their defense. In fact, we don't have to question it. We have the numbers right here on the computer screen. The defense isn't good this year. Defensive players who have been good traditionally, Mikal Bridges, OG Anunoby, at times he's gotten it back to it a little bit, but OG I wouldn't say is nearly as good defensively as he was last year. Mikal Bridges is not nearly as good defensively as he was in his previous stops. And now I understand your two best players in Karl-Anthony Towns and Brunson, who play the 1 and 5, aren't very good defensively. It limits your ability to be good defensively. Plus, Mitchell Robinson missing the entire year. I understand it. But, I mean, they made these changes in some ways knowing that they were going to rely on Tibbs to get them through the toughness and the defensive element. They made a trade. Obviously, Brunson Bridges still gives you that defense, or they thought would give you perimeter defense. But you make the trade for Cat. You bring in Brunson. Mikal Bridges, rather. I'm sorry. And you know that the team is going to take a hit chemistry-wise. You know the team is going to take a hit defensive-wise. And you're relying on the head coach to strengthen those and relying on the players you come in to help with the offense. They help with the offense. The coach makes sure they don't lose anything culture-wise, defensive tenacity-wise. And they have. So his strength so far this year, despite having a great record, and I'm not taking it away from him, and this isn't me screaming for his job. I'm just saying if someone's going to make that case, I do think there is an argument to be made that, hey, even despite the changes, they're not even in the same ballpark as Boston, depending on how the playoffs go. They're not in the same ballpark as Boston or Cleveland or OKC. His weaknesses are so glaring, his own team talks about it. And the strengths are diminished. So despite the great record, despite the best first half and however long, despite they're going to be a 3 seed, despite nobody's better than them than Cleveland or Boston, the ideas are they're not good enough to get over the hump. Well, they can't get past the best teams in the East. Oh, he plays too many minutes. Don't just listen to me. Listen to his team. He's great defensively. They're the 18th, 19th best defensive team in the NBA. He's great at building a culture and a tightness. They, you know, are shaking hands of the people who talk trash about their teammates. Like those, I'm just saying that's what the narratives are right now around this team. And if they have if they lose in the first round, I think you are going to hear the screams to fire the coach. Now, if they bring in the wrong coach, absolutely they could take steps back. There is no doubt in my mind. Not every coach would be suited for this. Not, you know, you would have to make sure it's the right coach. I don't know how many, there's a handful of them maybe. Like, I don't know. I think Tibbs is really good. I think Tibbs is good for this job. I think he's done a great job in here. And I am not screaming for him to be fired. I'm saying if they lose to the Pistons or if they get swept by Boston or Cleveland in the second round, there is going to be justified calling or at least questioning on whether or not he's the guy to continue moving forward with this team. Like, because the players aren't changing. I mean, that's just the plain truth of it. The players aren't going anywhere. The Knicks are going to be the Knicks. This starting five is not going anywhere. Brunson's going to be here, obviously. Cat's going to be here. Mikal Bridges is going to be here. OG Anunoby just got paid. Like, they aren't going anywhere. They're not getting it. I doubt they're making a trade for a different superstar. Who knows? I mean, you never know. Maybe Giannis wants the hell out of the Milwaukee. I have no idea, but I doubt it very much. The owner's been on podcast publicly saying that this is the team, they're going to be here for a while. So the team isn't changing. And if you feel like it's gotten stale or it's hit its limits, what else do you change?
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
It'll be a 3-2, and Clemens deals. Struck him out swinging. Number 4,000. Roger Clemens becomes the third pitcher in the history of Major League Baseball to record 4,000 strikeouts.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Oh, thought it would never come. 1:52, McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Another couple of minutes as we take you to Pat Boyle in the overnight, filling in for me as I am filling in for Keith. We all get bumped up. Keith's out in spring training watching the New York Yankees out at George Steinbrenner Field. Not right now, of course. But we, as we get ready for the season, as baseball again is already underway out in Japan, you know, the other the Yankees pitching rotation, I've done a lot on the lineup. The Yankees pitching rotation as well is under fire, of course, as we did get some good news, I suppose, from Clark Schmidt. And I wonder how they're going to start this season with him. I don't think there's any doubt, and I talked about this the other day, and I'm shocked people are like, there's a lot of Yankee fans who are reaching out to me upset about this. Will Warren's looked great in spring. There's no doubt about it. Carrasco's looked good, too. Now, do I think it's more likely that Will Warren is the better pitcher right now? Yes, but this is just straight-up roster management. The Yankees don't have, right? I think it's 5 days before the start of the regular season, so they have another 4 days. And Carrasco can opt out of his contract if he doesn't think he's going to make... He's had a good spring. If he's not going to be told you're starting the season, he can opt out of this contract and go look for another team to give him an opportunity to be at the major league level. Like, you got to... You can't lose them. They're not in a position to be giving up starting pitching. Will Warren has an option. He's going to get sent down and start the year in AAA, but he's going to impact this roster moving forward eventually. But right now, they just don't have the arms to say goodbye to Carrasco. And right now, especially, I don't even know if Clark Schmidt's going to start the year. There's a chance Will Warren, well, Will Warren will be on the opening day roster because even before this arm issue with his shoulders fatigue with Clark Schmidt, he wasn't going to start until like the sixth game of the year. So Will Warren's going to start the year up with the team. I'm assuming he's going to make probably a start. And you could, it wouldn't be shocked to me if you start the year on the IL with Clark Schmidt off of this and let him get built up because just right now, he just hasn't pitched enough. He's thrown like three innings in spring training. He's thrown a couple bullpens. He's thrown three innings. Like he's just not, and Boone talked about on the broadcast yesterday, he's just not in a position to really make starts and go deep into the game. So with the idea of Carrasco pitching well and Will Warren pitching well, I wouldn't be surprised if they just IL him to start the year. And, I mean, that sucks. Another pitcher on the IL, it wouldn't be very long. It would be, hopefully at least, that he seems like he's feeling better. His arm's fine. It's just a matter of getting built up enough to actually be a useful starting pitcher. And not kill your bullpen. You have Clark Schmidt lined up to start the day before you, your starting pitcher gets lit up and you're in the bullpen in the third or fourth inning. Who knows how long Clark Schmidt's going to... They don't want to do that. Even to start this early season, you get a lot of days off in April. They don't want to be taxing the bullpen already to start the year. So we'll see how it goes. But I do believe this rotation, this bullpen, this lineup are going to be pretty damn good. Let's go to Frank in Baldwin. What's up, Frank?
Chris, love listening to you every night. I love you when you're on in the daytime, too.
Thank you, buddy. I appreciate
especially
it.
When I'm cooking on a Sunday, I got you on the radio. I love it.
Nice.
So, don't mess with the Zohan. How could you not like that movie? I thought that was one of the, that's my favorite out of the movie.
Listen, you know, it's funny. Rami texted me when I said that, and he spent a good portion of his childhood in Israel. And he says that, you know, that he loves that movie. And it's insane how accurately he depicts everything Israeli. So, like, that's... I hear him. I wouldn't know. I've seen the movie. It's okay. It has its moments, but it's a bit... I don't know. It's a bit over the top, and I feel like there's a couple of cringe moments that aren't very funny. I don't know. You really think... You think Don't Mess with the Zohan is your favorite Adam Sandler movie?
Yeah, well, that and The Waterboy. It's a tough one.
Yeah, I wouldn't put the Zohan up with that. I respect Rami's opinion, and I think there are some funny moments. I mean, it's Adam Sandler movie. There isn't a single Adam Sandler movie that doesn't make me laugh a little bit. But, yeah, I don't know. Maybe I'll rewatch it and have a better affinity for it. Maybe it's the Adam Sandler version of the Cable Guy. Because Cable Guy is one of the most notorious, and it's totally true. The first time you watch Cable Guy, you're just like, oh, no. And then you watch it, and you watch it, and you watch it, and it's freaking awesome. Jim Carrey's spectacular, and it just takes your time. Maybe I got to watch the Zohan again. Because to be totally honest with you, I don't know if I've seen it more than once or twice. But Adam Sandler's the man, and I can't wait. Cannot wait for July. Get a little Happy Gilmore, too. That's it for me. Thank you guys for calling. Thank you for listening. Rami, who started the show with me, thank you. We got Nico training on the other side. Fliegelman doing something back there. He's contributed, I promise. Enjoy the rest of your morning. I'll catch you back again tomorrow night after a Yankee broadcast and be with you again on the nights. Everybody enjoy. Pat Boyle is next. I'm out of here. Bye-bye.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM. The Fan. WFAN.